lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
Jimmy boy,
T Shaz, we're back.
Another Marquez masterclass.
I know, bro. How good's having Bruno back?
Bruno was amazing. I forgot how like fast it was. Those two chicanes going into the front straight are amazing. And like it was Mugello style track, isn't it? Which people don't really realize.
It's so wide. I forgot how wide it is.
Massive. Yeah. It's exciting. It's the fans over 200,000 again. I mean, they're just killing it, aren't they? MotoGP this year in Europe. So absolutely breaking records, which is so good to see.
And with, you know, not the greatest weather for Friday, that's for sure.
No, not the greatest weather, I agree. And that's what made it so interesting for the weekend, because you went into a track that had no data.
Yeah.
And then you had a wet Friday. I mean, that's what threw up probably some interesting results other than MM 93.
Now imagine being Jorge Martin and like it's too wet to ride around. You're just trying to just get some confidence, and it's pissing down rain. It's inclement weather, the dry line track.
Yeah. Chapeau to Martin. He had a, I think, better than expected weekend, especially from our point of view. I think it's a pass mark, definitely.
For sure.
To him to go out there first practice, and I was seeing him doing lap after lap, thinking, geez, not the weather for it, but yeah, he did really, really well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let's get some results. Oh, let's do Motor Heaven first. Hit up motorheaven.com.au, everyone. Our good friends down there. They're got something big for our bicycle guys as well.
Oh, is that launched yet, Jimmy?
Very, very, very soon.
It's like building up, isn't it?
It is. It's building up.
Jesus.
It's building up.
It's like an atomic bomb.
So, yeah.
Two atoms are about to collide.
So check out motorheaven.com.au for all your motorcycle needs, and you'll never pay full price.
Thank you, as always. Yes, Motorheaven. And guys, YouTube, thank you so much for all the love and support. Yes. To over 2,000 subscribers now, so it helps us a lot with the channel as well. Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram obviously is our main source of socials, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, we really do. Follow along, it's great.
All right, results from the main race. Marc Marquez secures the victory, which is unbelievable.
Five in a row,
and 5 years since that nasty accident, nearly to the day. So we'll unveil that in a sec. Bezzecchi, again, podium, second. Acosta, the first podium of the year, third. Bagnaia, fourth. Raul Fernandez, fifth. The Aprilia really did have the pace, didn't it?
Yep.
Fabio Quartararo, sixth. Jorge Martin, seventh. Binden, eighth. Paul Espargaro, ninth. And Jack Miller, tenth.
Nice.
So 18 finishes. A few injuries as well, which we'll touch on. I mean, it's they're dropping like flies in the MotoGP paddock at the moment. So.
Yeah, they are. But I guess we're just going to talk about it. But Marc Marquez, how does anyone stop this man? He's in his groove there. He just is riding like he's invincible. And bro, have you seen anything in motorsport where you gotta drop like 3 seconds for this stupid tire pressure rule, which we all know is really dumb? But he then slots in behind Pedro Acosta, who's obviously no slouch. Just does what he has to do, and then just passes it. It's like he's playing a PlayStation game on easy.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you saw Bagnaia try to do the same thing and made a bit of a hash of it. Yeah. I don't know if he tried to go back 3 positions, but he did. I think he tried to cover that up at the end of the race. But, yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And what's so amazing about his performance this year is, obviously, his on-field, call it, racing is phenomenal. But the IQ, I mean, the head, isn't it? It's just the experience that has come through. I mean, that's the most tactical, underrated part of his game.
Yeah, and just the pace that it's like he's just making everyone look like amateurs.
Yeah,
it really is. He is just that much further ahead. And then like he obviously just puts in the lap times during the main Grand Prix, and you know, breaks everyone. But that sprint and what he had to do with the dumb tire pressure rules just shows you how much of a higher level he is than the rest of the field. It's just plain and simple. Yeah. You can't argue that.
You can't argue. It just doesn't look like losing just all weekend. I mean, yeah, he's we've run out of words to describe it, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's some frustration in the community, which we understand. I mean, we're going back to the days of, you know, the 15, 16, 17 domination, even later than that, sorry, 18 and 19. So we're coming back to that. Is it going to put people off watching the sport now, which is utter domination? It may do, but you just got to appreciate it. And yeah, it's just it's a magical thing that he's come back after 5 years, nearly to the day, for this terrible accident where he got, you know, hit by the bike and in that gravel trap in Jerez, and then to come back and he's going to win a championship this year. He's going to probably win the championship next year. Yeah, truly amazing.
Truly, truly amazing. It just, the man cannot be stopped. So I don't know what else, as you said, I don't know what else to say for that. But yeah, like, how stupid was the tire pressure thing? So it was a false alarm for both Ducatis. Is that right?
Dude, I still haven't got clear.
I know Bagnaia is.
Bagnaia definitely was. And then Marquez had his come up on the dash, and then we didn't really get a clear answer. I think that was probably on purpose because I don't know what was going on. And I went through interviews today, documents today, and I'm assuming people are going to probably come into our podcast to find the situation and the answer, but we don't have the answer to that one.
I know Tardozzi said with Bagnaia it was a false alarm and it's happened once before.
Yeah.
But I'm not too sure of Mark. Like, it was so strange. And this tire pressure with Michelin, like, everyone is in such agreement with it that we're all so over it.
Yeah.
It's obviously a Michelin thing. Like, this has never happened before. And I'm sure when Pirelli comes in.
So Michelin's last year is next year. Is that correct? The new regs of the Pirelli will come in. So. Yeah. It's obviously a very hard thing to do, is to develop these tires for racing. And we all understand that because it happens in so many different categories. But the less we talk about tires, the better.
Yeah.
And better the racing. They bring tires in and they make them wear to make the racing better. We don't need that, you know.
They're scared that they're going to explode at 300 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, it kind of made the sprint a little bit more exciting, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Well, so we all stand here and say how annoying it was, but I'm thinking, oh, geez, it was an absolute bit of a snooze fest. It wasn't for that.
It was just it's just a farce, though. That's the problem.
It's not natural.
It shouldn't happen. There's nothing in racing in motorsport where you should be just sitting behind someone and then just waiting to pounce because of a dumb tire pressure rule where you're going to get penalized if you're just faster. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, obviously when like Pirelli comes in, like, it should, you know, they should have a better front tire.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to Marc Marquez, I mean, I saw some comments online that were saying that he was using a Costa as a tire blanket.
That's funny. How'd you feel being a Costa being let through? And then it's like, you still got, you've got nothing on this guy. No. Like, he's just gonna, when he wants to pass you, he'll pass you. And it's exactly what he did. And he couldn't even get a front wheel back on him.
Oh yeah, it's scary. I know. And you know what? To Acosta's credit, he had a great weekend and a bit of a turnaround for KTM as well.
Yeah, so. Nea Bastianini on the podium.
Where'd that come from?
So he comes out and says that it was because it's a blank canvas. He didn't have
data and stuff.
Normally when he's on the KTM, he's kind of stuck riding to the breaking points of a Ducati, and it's obviously mentally it's very, very difficult to change, and maybe some riders are better than others, but he, with a blank canvas, he won there, and I think Moto2, so to beat on a KTM, like, and he was fast, and the KTMs were fast.
Well, it showed in with Joe Roberts in Moto2 that you know, having that race before there actually really worked for them. Having that history. But I read today Acosta has never been to that circuit in his life. Never raced Moto3 or Moto2 there.
And I thought,
I had that in my notes. I mean, it was great, you know, that Bastianini and the Joe Roberts had podiums in the last time they went there. But, you know, it didn't really correlate with Acosta, so.
Yeah, well, obviously, he's just, it worked for KTM. And, you know, I guess with not much dry running time throughout the whole weekend.
It equalizes everyone, I think. It really does.
You know, the track's not rubbered in, but it's I'm happy to see Bastianini up there, and I'm happy to see Pedro Acosta up there. And it was good to see three different manufacturers on the podium. So you had KTM, Ducati, 100%. And Aprilia.
Yeah.
That's what it needs.
Well, Bastianini in the main race, I mean, what could have been? You know, he crashed and he looked the fastest out of from second to fifth. He looked really, really quick. He didn't put it down, and having that nasty accident with those air fences.
I thought that air fence was going to, I thought we were going to get red flags.
Flagged. Yeah.
You know?
Which I wasn't, I mean, it didn't, nothing would have really changed.
Nah, it wouldn't have.
No, Marquez was just, out in front and dominating, so.
We're going to talk about it. Is Juan Mir the unluckiest rider of all time?
Well, I've been scratching my head today about this because, yes, he has had some very bad luck in the last five races. Harry from Honda, you know, he believes in him a lot, James. But at the end of the day, he's made a lot of mistakes in the last 2 or 3 years, a lot. Yeah. And he's finally got some sort of bike under him, qualifying up there in the top 5 or 6, and then just gets taken out. And Alex Marquez, ridiculously stupid move.
Yeah, so he wasn't even going for the pass.
He was
trying to line him up for the second corner, lost the front, and just tagged him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There was audio from their clash today, but it was in Spanish. I couldn't obviously understand it. But
I thought it was a dubbed audio of the Indian guys going, "You're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot."
No, it wasn't. Nope. I thought it was that at the start, but it looked sounded Spanish and more legit. So
no, you fuck, you fuck.
That'd be a good meme, by the way.
It's a meme. It's already there. Yeah, it's already out.
That's funny.
So, like, I felt for him. I was watching it, Tom, and I was like, I actually like laughed, but I was laughing at like, I can't believe what I'm watching. How can you take him out?
I know.
He actually deserves points if he just finishes like 5 laps while I'm in.
I know. It's even and that was the story up. Of. I know that was the story of the week. I mean, it was like, you know, imagine if Mir gets taken out again. And he did. I mean, second lap.
Bro, Alex Marquez, I know. It was just, it was dumb. But I just feel so bad for him. And then his flight got cancelled that night.
I know, I saw that. But yeah, bad for the championship as well. It's going to just make things quicker and quicker and quicker. They're saying that, what's the championship there, James?
So, Mark Marquez is on 381 points. So, we're only at the summer break. Alex Marquez is 120 points behind. Bagnaia is 168 points behind. Bezzecchi, 225. Digia, 239. Morbidelli's dropped down to 6, 242. So, we all know, like, the championship is done. And Mark Marquez was asked about that in the post-race presser. And he said, you know, it's his to lose. And he's going to race for points. He's not racing for race wins. He's racing for championships. He said he made that mistake in 2014 when he won those first 10 races. And then he had quite a few DNFs where he was just trying to win races, when now that's not going to be his goal. Obviously, you can take that with a grain of salt because Marc Marquez always wants to win races. But that's going to be his... I think if he can take a second or third and really... not risk it. It's why wouldn't you? You're 120 points up or whatever it is on Alex Marquez. Like,
yeah,
mate, you've got it in the bag.
Well, they're talking wrapping it up before the European season finishes. I mean,
they said Misano. That's how that all kicked off. He's like, you can win it in Misano. He brushed it off pretty quickly. Yeah. So, but because you know, there's still so many points. What's 37 points, whatever it is, for a race weekends with the sprint?
Yeah,
the main
race? Course. I mean, we'd love it to last till Phillip Island. I'd love to see a championship decided there, because I don't think we've seen one of them in MotoGP. When's the last time we've seen a championship won? Phillip Island,
bro. I would say Valentino Rossi 2001 on the 500cc, last of the 500ccs. I don't think we've seen a Moto. It's always been Japan, Sepang, Valencia.
Yeah, it's
and Thailand for Marc Marquez 1 year in Buriyam.
Taka Nakagami.
I know, bro. LCR's cursed.
That's so. He's torn his PCL ligament in his right knee after
footy career's done.
After replacing Chantra, who actually did his ACL in the right knee.
Footy is really done.
So there's knees, and they're just on their knees, aren't they?
LCR is in FP1, FP2, they actually interviewed Lucio Ciacanello about the LCR ride. Chantra's gone. So Chantra's gone. He's come out and said without coming out and saying it that he doesn't want an Asian rider on there now. It's not working.
Oh, okay.
On a Team Asia and all this Idemitsu's not working. The rumors are that Diego Moreira has been given a 3-year contract, 1 year on the LCR and then 2 for HRC.
Wow.
So it sounds like Lucio Ciacanello has had enough of this Idemitsu.
He's listened to us.
Yeah, Asia.
He's listened to the 10-point plan.
Yeah, because he exactly right. There was the Asia Talent Cup and Idemitsu and having to have an Asian rider. It sounds like he is pushing for a rider that is just actually capable for the bike, because he was pretty full on and how he worded everything. Obviously, he was still praising Chantra and felt sorry for him for having an injury and everything like that. But you can tell what Zarco is doing on the bike. That seat is just a miss now. So
it just looks so bad for the brand.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
I mean, it's a sponsorship deal, but it makes the brand look worthless. I mean, it really does. It's just I never understand that in sport, putting a inferior rider on a, on your own product just for a sponsorship. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, exactly.
In the long run, it's not going to work. Yeah. I mean, even have the sponsor. I mean, I don't know if Idemitsu will stay or they go. I mean, it sounds like they'll have to go, but...
Or that it's going to have to work something out where they put a rider in for their brands that's not an Asian rider. Like, they have to come to some type of agreement because there is no one there at the moment that can ride that bike. We've spoken about it for weeks. Like, we're all sick of talking about it, but like, it's finally good that there's some acknowledgement in it because Chancho is that much slower than everyone else and it's just, it's not working. And you've got a bike where they can develop. Like, Zarco is developing an LCR Honda. Like, he's developing a Honda, and they need someone. They need a fast kid on there, like a Diego Moreira or Manu Gonzalez, or, you know, someone on there that can have, it's got just more ability.
Like, we know Moreira has the talent. Like, he, you know, I know he made those stupid decisions last week at Sachsenring, but he's got the talent, the raw talent. And like we spoke about the comparing him to Marc Marquez in that same situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see people go through the field like that. So
he
obviously, we'll talk about Moto2 soon, but he sort of was injured and sort of gave up in the Moto2 race. But that's pretty understandable.
T-Shabs, mate, we all know that you're a Mr. Aprilia. You love riding. I want to know, where do you get your motorcycle gear from?
Mate, there is only one place I get all my gear from, apart from the guy down the street, and that's Moto Heaven in Moorabbin, okay? They are a family-owned business, which we love. They always have the best prices, and if I want to get something shipped to my house, it's free delivery over $150. So for me, it's really a no-brainer.
Right, so you get all the best gear, and then is it better than going to the dumb big corporate chains?
They don't care about you.
No.
You know, you can't call the owner of them to ask questions.
No.
Adrian's always on my phone list, and I can always call him to.
He's always calling you.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, no, I love it. So head to motoheaven.com.au where you never pay full price. They got all the big brands, super fast dispatch, ship anywhere around Australia. You can get whatever you want.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Being hit up the ass at, what, 200 Ks an hour probably?
Yeah, it's pretty full on. So it was just interesting what Lucio Ceccanello was saying with LCR, and it's finally coming to light that like this isn't working. Chandra's not going to be there. Apparently, this is the rumor of everyone. Apparently, everyone's going to Honda and World Superbikes, and apparently Chandra's one of them. So who the fuck knows? But
Chandra's on that World Superbike. I mean, why? Why bother?
But
this is the problem with his move, James, for Chandra. He could have had an okay Moto2 career. You know, I know he didn't do much, but, you know, he might have been in that Team Asia team and he might have got some results where he's going to go into this MotoGP team, done absolutely nothing, and then his career is going to be very much over because a Moto2 team isn't going to take him back. He can go to World Superbikes, but is that really going to get him anywhere? And he's never going to be welcome back in the MotoGP paddock.
No, well, let's be honest. Like, he shouldn't have been in the MotoGP paddock the whole time. Yeah. Like, for sure, Moto3 or Moto2, whatever it is, but he's like... 2 seconds, a second and a half on qualifying, a second off the pace, like more. It's more like 1.8, 2 seconds. Like, it's, we all know it. Like, everyone knows it. And then he missed races, he's injured. Like, it's time. Like, if there's an Asian rider that's capable of going in there and doing it like an Ayagura, fine, put him on. But if there's not, like, it's you're just making up numbers. And MotoGP's got too much talent now to make up numbers.
And money. Money is a big thing. It's not a... It's just going to get richer and richer and richer.
So Idemitsu has to pull their head out, and either they're going to either pull the sponsorship or they're going to go, all right, let's get a fast kid on there. They're still representing their fucking brands.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mick Doohan won 5 world titles, a Repsol Honda, like with a Repsol. Like, it's, who cares?
Mm.
You know, it's still your bike up on the top of the podium. Mm. Or, you know, if you're LCR, like, fuck, you might have a chance. Like, look at the Castrol Zarco. Like, it's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, why are these people so dumb?
Yeah, well, we've harped on it for weeks and weeks, haven't we? As you said, so that's great. That's great news. Great news coming out of the race, because that makes me happy. If we can sign a young rider, young talented rider, because that's what's so exciting. I mean,
I know.
I mean, it's exciting seeing Ayagura finishing fifth in Thailand. I mean, it's exciting seeing Raul Fernandez finishing fifth last night. So,
and he's one where, like, bro, what's going on, Raul Fernandez?
Let's shows you, man, how good that Aprilia must be.
I think the Aprilia obviously is a good bike, and it's really, you know, working. But Raul Fernandez, like, has he done enough to save his career?
Of course he has.
Oh, Jesus.
He has.
But then he'll sign up to your contract, do nothing.
La Familia, bro. Come on. Think about it. No, he's done all right. He's done a
really... Fifth is amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, I know. I know. And the thing is, we were like... Oh, and look, guys, we've had a lot of messages about this. We're going to relive our start of the season predictions, because we got some horribly wrong and some horribly right.
I reckon with me and you, I think we got Mark Marquez winning the championship right, and I think we got Chandra last right. I think everything else I've...
Well,
I
had Mir and Marini second last and third last.
Yeah, I got... I had them kind of half up there, I think.
Which, yeah, I mean, they crashed. Mir's crashed so much, and Marini's been injured, so they probably still are at the back. But by the end of the season, we'll see.
I'll show you. I'll tell you right now. I got the points already. Luca Marini's 15th, and Juan Mir is 19th.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we only had 22 runners, so we have to take that into consideration.
Come on, bro. Alessio Spargo, 27th on 0 points. Somkat Chantra, 26th on 1 point. Now here come. This is my other take. Miguel Oliveira is on 6 points in 25th, and I know he's missed races. I get that.
Yeah.
But Jack Miller is 14th on 52 points. Oliveira finished like, bro. He finished like 19th.
Yeah, I don't get.
So I don't know what's going to happen with him, because he must be feeling the pinch.
I reckon I have seen Oliveira this season about 5 times on the TV, and 4 of them him through the gravel trap.
Yeah.
Like, actually, you know what? Even saying that, I don't think he's even crashed that much. He's crashed and injured himself, but he's like finishing races, but he's finishing out the back.
He's not. He doesn't have speed. He's not having speed. And this is going to just put Yamaha into a very awkward
position. You can't keep him on.
He's not doing nearly
enough.
Well,
the rumor mill says Miller's signed with factory Yamaha for next year. That's the rumor. But
bro, that is the rumor. There's a rumor that Jack Miller's a factory Yamaha. Alex Rins is going to be shown the door. And then there's crazy like Miguel to stay. And then there's even crazy rumors like Luca Marini to Primark Yamaha. I've heard that one.
Well, you got Toprak coming over as well, so.
Yeah, so I don't know.
So you have to... There's going to be someone that makes way for him.
True. So... Yeah, it's weird, but Miguel Oliveira hasn't yet. He's got to do something on that second half. But apparently, Yamaha wanted to make the decision by the summer break, and being 6 points, and then being like 19th or whatever he was in Bruno, that's not going to help your cause.
It's such a fine line, and I've never ridden a motorcycle in vain at all. But I don't know if you're fighting for your place. I mean. What's better, James? Fighting for a point, or risking crashing, or finishing 19th and not even being spoke about? I mean,
I think you got to just risk a crash. I think you got
to. But then the crash is also seen as like, oh, he's crashed again, and everyone just like pushed him to the side.
Well, me.
But it's just, I mean, it's always like that in motorcycle racing, isn't it? Because you can run wide in a car and get back on the racetrack and continue. But if you fall off a motorcycle, you're done for the race.
So. Or you get taken out.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, 3 days of practice qualifying. You don't realize until you kind of at an event how long that is.
So I know.
You get taken out in the second corner.
When we were kids, we used to watch it. And we used to watch just the race. And someone used to get taken out the first corner. And they're throwing their arms in the air and cracking the shits. And, you know, I'll move on to the next weekend. Dude, they've been out there for 3 or 4 hours over 5 days.
Yeah.
You know, they get there on the Wednesday. They're flying all the way from Europe.
Yeah.
Until you're taken out in the first corner. That's what I do love about the sprint race. It gives someone more track time. I think that's a really good thing. Dude, what happened to Digia?
I know. He just had no pace. Crashed.
I had him second.
Yeah, crashed in a sprint, I think. And then...
And finished. He finished the main race, but I reckon he was back where Oliveira was.
Yeah, he was out of the point. I'm pretty sure. Can you get the... Do you still have the results up?
Sure do.
Where did Oliveira and Digia finish?
Oliveira was 17th, second last, just in front of
Digia.
Fernandez. Digia was just ahead of him, so 16th and 17th.
Jesus.
Digia was 2 seconds behind Rins.
I put him on fraud watch.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Know what's so crazy about that? I put him on fraud watch and no one better than Eyelid. Normally, I'll get death threats for that.
He's jumped on. You jumped on pretty soon, though.
He's on a GP25, bro.
Yeah.
And he should be doing better. This is the whole point about fraud watch. He should have had a better result than that. A much better result. He should have been top 10.
Mm.
That's not ludicrous.
No, not ludicrous. It's just...
being
it's a fickle game, isn't it?
Being 16th or wherever you finished outside the points.
Yeah.
With crashes in front of him with like Alex Marquez and Juan Mir and whoever else. To then but the finish like there was no issues. No one took him out. You can't do that. That's fraud.
But he's gone from finishing where did he finish in Saxon Ring?
I can't remember.
It was on the he was on the podium, wasn't he?
It was Marco Bezzecchi. No, he crashed. No, did you crash?
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe there's a bit of...
He should have been on the podium.
Should have been on the podium. But that's the whole idea of fraud watch, is you have the ability and you're showing it.
Yeah.
Well, you're not showing it, I should say.
We take a lot of success from Bezzecchi.
So, you know who else was a deer in headlights on the weekend? The new KTM CEO. Was he AI generated or what?
He reminded me of the dude that got caught at the Coldplay concert.
Yeah. He was like, oh no. And then, oh no.
It was the biggest act ever.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. Like, I reckon he had his earpiece in. He's like, you're on camera now.
Yeah.
Do something.
He
didn't
know what was going on.
He did not know. I mean, he's got some racing cred somewhere back in the 80s or something. But for me, it was a bit of a puppet show, wasn't it?
He's a good luck charm, though. He had a couple of podiums.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, he's got a big job ahead of him, that fella.
Yeah,
massive job ahead
pressure.
Of him.
But apparently, KTM's staying. Everything's all hunky-dory.
That's awesome. And to see both the teams out there, they've obviously doing something right. Binder was a big disappointment for me. I mean, I had him top five. He finished eighth, I think, in the end. But, you know, obviously, a few crashes. But he got beaten by Pol Espargaró in the sprint race.
Pol Espargaró was amazing.
In finishing 10th. I mean...
He must be like that's I'd like to see him on another bike, but maybe his riding style just doesn't work for modern day MotoGP. Maybe it would have worked 10 years ago.
Well, I think you're right, and I think Miller has that same issue with Binder with that.
But he's having a better season, Miller.
He's having a better season, but obviously it's just gone a different direction with his ride height devices and everything. Yeah, I think you're on the money with that with Binder.
Well, yeah, KTM is trying to copy Ducati. Like, they're trying to be a lot more stable in the corner entry, not sliding it everywhere like what Binder and Miller did. Mm. And it's obviously not working for him, but it's helping Pedro Acosta and like Maverick Vinales and these guys. Because that's what they have to do. They, you know, everyone copies the best.
Mm.
It's a reason.
God, it would have been good to see Vinales there on the weekend, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no Morbidelli either.
So so we've got 3 weeks off now into the summer break. So there's going to be a few sore boys out there. They're going to be hopefully all fixed up.
Is it just 3 weeks?
Just 3 weeks this year. Yep.
Fuck. I thought it was like five or something. That's all right.
No, just 3 weeks of summer break. So
Let's talk about it. Jorge Martin, he's back. Waited this long to talk about it, which is good.
Look, I think as I said at the start of the pod, I think it was a great result. Now he finishing seventh. I think... He showed everything that he had to do. I think he is going to have podium pace by definitely the flyaways at the end of the year,
bro.
Which I've said from his crash. I think he'll come back.
He came back fully fit. Mm. It's just not, I guess, ride fit, and then he had to get accustomed to the Aprilia. Like, he's done no laps on that Aprilia. But in saying that, you got to give credit where credit's due, because he faced the media. He cried in front of the media. He didn't back down. He didn't apologize, which rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way. But he backed it up on the track where he had, he had a top, all top tens just about, except for qualifying. And he did exactly what he needed to do and probably more.
I think it shows as well that Aprilia obviously has a pretty good base, set up, and he can come in the bike and get into Q2 straight away after having one practice session in the dry.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a really good sign for the manufacturer and himself.
Yeah.
Because if you got to look at Vinales and Bastianini on the KTM round one in Buriram. They were fighting at the back with Chantra.
Yeah.
And they had no idea how this bike worked. They had testing time on it, but still had nothing they could do. And they were so slow. They were out the back, 20 seconds behind. So you compare that to a similar situation with Martin with similar track time. And he's come in and got into Q2 straight away, finishing the top 10 for both sprint and main race. I think tick for me.
Major tick. He's done well. I agree with you. At the end of the year, I think he's been fighting for podiums. Like, I think he's just there. I think the bike's good enough. But it's just a shame on everything that happens, because if none of that happened, he just came back and got seventh, bro, he would be huge right now.
Yeah, it's a big shame. The whole injury for him this year is a big shame. And what he could have done fully fit, obviously it was a slow start to the season for Aprilia, but he'd be winning races right now. If Bez is finishing 1.7 seconds behind Marquez, Martin's winning races. Simple as that.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I don't think Mark Marquez actually only finished 1.7 seconds.
He was almost 3 seconds ahead. He was chilling.
Well, he was. It was the stats say 1.7 seconds, yeah. But in saying that, I think Marquez probably had 15 seconds up his sleeve.
Yeah, he would. I think Jorge Martin would be second in the championship easily.
Yes, I agree. I definitely agree.
I just don't think anyone's stopping Mark Marquez. You got to remember, Jorge Martin just beat Pecco last year.
Yes.
Just beat Pecco. Yep. So they're on a similar... They're actually such different riders, but they're on a similar basis where Mark Marquez, if people don't want to hear it or not, he's just 3 steps above everyone else. Like, it's just... Mm. It is what it is. It's how it is. But credit to Aprilia, credit to Marco Bezzecchi, because they've really worked with this bike. It's clearly the second best bike on the grid now. If Jorge Martin's already fast on it, it's a great sign, as you said. And Bezzecchi, again, my favorite rider. He is absolutely killing it. He is just... doing everything that he needs to do and to be put in that position. I know I keep talking about it, but he put in that position and be Aprilia's man, he deserves a 300% pay rise because he has done more than enough.
Yeah, he's pulled his finger out when it mattered most ever for Aprilia.
And he's quick. He looks quick. He looks racy.
Yeah, he does. He does. Holds the tires well as well, because that's the thing with Bagnaia. He seems to have pace at the start of the race for like 5 or 6 laps and then just drops back.
Well, he had no pace at the main race.
Yeah, and then he comes back at the end, yeah, but it's just never enough.
He turned his traction control off.
Is that what he
did?
Yeah,
mid-race.
Jeez.
Yeah. I got a question for you. When are you, Tom, going to be sick of Mark winning like the Repsol days?
I think I'm close.
Because I reckon you are as well.
Yeah, I'm looking... It's funny, 4 laps to go, Matt Burt got out of his seat, goes, oh my God, Marquez is falling down. And I thought, oh, here we go. What's happening here? Not jumping up and down like probably we all used to back in the good old Repsol days.
Not me, mate.
Not you. But in saying that, he deserved the win. He deserves to win. He really does.
Mm.
What I want to see is someone to take it up to him. I don't want to see Marquez crashing. I want to see a Bezzecchi going, I'm going to fucking win this weekend. You know, I want a Martin to come back in Phillip Island and pole up and win the race. You know, I want to see someone step up and a manufacturer step up.
All right, let me ask you this. Kevin Swant said in 2003, there's no one that can beat Valentino Rossi. They're not even in the paddock yet. Is that the same right now of Marc Marquez? As in, not in the MotoGP field. So the first person, obviously, to beat Rossi was Nicky Hayden. He wasn't even in the paddock.
How good is Pedro Acosta?
Yeah.
Is he in the same conversation?
No.
Mm.
I don't think anyone in the MotoGP field is in the same conversation as Marc Marquez that can beat Marc Marquez.
And it's also too early to call on these young guys. It's too early to call a Moreira or a David Alonso or...
Quiles or Rueda.
Yeah.
Like, I just, there's no one, I just can't see anyone.
There's a short answer and a long answer to this, and the answer is no.
that's the thing. Like, there's no one, and maybe one of those young guys. Like, no one saw Casey Stoner doing what he is.
And I said this to you, like, Rulston's struggling in Moto3, and I said, is he going to have it? Is he going to have it going forward? And you said, you know, it's going to take time.
Casey Stoner started in the 250s,
yes.
Then went to the 125s, yeah. Never won a title, then went back to the 250s, didn't win a title, and then second year, obviously.
And then he won the title on two different manufacturers, which is the biggest thing for a motorcycle rider and also a Formula One driver. To win a title on two different manufacturers shows you the best, you know?
Huge. But I don't know if there's anyone in that MotoGP field that can beat Marc Marquez yet. Or any time I can see in the future.
Not on a Ducati. This goes back to what I was saying 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said, Bagnaia needs to make the move. Otherwise, he's just going to be flogging the horse, you know, flogging the dead horse. I mean, he's got to go. If he's going to finish second or third or fourth every race, he's got to try with another manufacturer.
The only person I can see beating and really taking it to Mark is Quartararo on like an Aprilia or something.
Mm.
It's really the only person that...
Martin. I'd say Martin, man.
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced on the mental side. I think Quartararo...
He hung on by a thread.
How he even went up against Mark in his early days. People forget how kind of mentally, like he was always in his own head. He used to smash his house, like smash his bike and stuff, but he was there with him. And remember when he, when, I think Mark was tailing Quartararo and then he just high-sides himself and Sepang and like, I think Quartararo
cold
is,
tires.
Yeah, Quartararo is the man. If anyone could do it, I'm going to say it's him, but it's not going to be on a Yamaha.
Not going to be on a Yamaha.
No.
It seems that he's getting a bit of cold feet, isn't he, Quartararo? He said some things in the media lately that I think we touched on it last week. But yeah, if
it's
I was...
tense. It's tense in
Aprilia's, they got their two guys. So you got to say, they got their two guys.
Great team. A great team.
Yeah, Aprilia, Martin, and I'm glad that's done. It's finished. He'll race next year. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen after that. KTM, who knows what's going on with KTM. Honda, I mean, I don't see Quartararo going to Honda.
No.
And do I see a Quartararo dressed in red? Do I see Quartararo in a non-factory Ducati team? Probably not. So I just don't know where he can go.
Well, Quartararo next year, he's in line of everyone else's contracts. So next year, he's riding a Yamaha, but then he's a free agent for the new regs in 2027, which is a bit of a scary thing to be a free agent for because you don't know what bikes are doing what. You know, you can talk to Ducati, you can talk to Aprilia, and they might promise you the world, but
everyone's going to promise you the world.
Yeah, you don't know, and Yamaha's going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's actually an awkward situation for Fabio Quartararo to be in because he says he's run out of time. He'll win championships now, and if Yamaha doesn't provide him the bike, then he has to look elsewhere, which he has to.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? I don't know how much these bikes are going to change in 27 either.
I think it's going to be a big difference. It's a massive engine change. Different tyres.
Tyres are going to be a big one. That's huge. Like you look at Tony Arbolino on Moto2.
Oh boy, you just whip him when he's down,
dude,
don't
he's
you?
Gone from championship, nearly winning the championship, to being 14th, 15th and blaming on the tyres every weekend. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy.
I mean, you've got two little tiny contact patches with the tarmac and that's what you have to... That's what's so important, isn't it? So,
Peter Pavel. See him? Did you see him?
No, who's that? Who's Peter Pavel?
Peter Pavel is like the president of the Czech Republic.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Jack Appleyard interviewed him on the grid.
Yes.
I think I had a nap by the time he finished talking. I was hoping he noticed that.
No, I was doing so. The national anthem I really liked. I thought that was a good
up and about
rendition. But no, I missed Jack on the grid this week.
You missed Peter Pavel?
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't sound like I missed much.
Fucking hell, bro. He wouldn't stop talking. This guy's the politician anyway.
So you wouldn't want to be stuck with him at a party, you're saying?
Nah, he would net you hard.
Yeah.
He would net
There's
you
a few
hard.
Like that. There's a few like that.
And I did like the big Monza stage there. Czech Republic looks like a good Grand Prix to go to. You were saying that.
I messaged you. I said, mate, I reckon next year we've got to do the Saxon Ring and Czech Republic double.
Yeah.
Two weekends. They're close to each other.
6 hour drive or 4.5 hour drive.
In the middle of the summer, the Czech Republic and the Matty Burt was saying on commentary, like downtown, he's like rocking, rock bands and bars and...
Sick. Underrated Grand Prix. It's always been an underrated
and it's such
Grand
a big,
Prix.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people at home thinking the same thing. Like it's such a big expense to go over to Europe to watch a race. You want to go to the right one.
Mm.
And we hear pros and cons for everything. Mugello's hard to get to and expensive, whatever. Sachsenring, we've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah.
But
no, Superbike Shore's been Saxon
Ring. Superbike Shore's been Saxon Ring. Czech Republic, no one. I don't think anyone I know
I don't
has
know
been.
Anyone that's been.
Aston, everyone says really good. But for us, we're going together. We want good... good place, it's close to the track, but also a good party atmosphere. That's what's so good about Phillip Island, is it's all in a 30-kilometer radius, you know? Not even that, probably 10-kilometer radius.
I think if you're going to go to Mugello, you have to have like a camper van there.
Yeah.
That's the only way I think you could do it.
I agree. Yeah.
That's
why Asian countries are so easy for us, because they're $500 return flights, you know, $200 a night accommodation.
Get
the Grab scooter. And we're like, we're seriously like, you know, Indonesia is like 5 hour flight from us.
And there's no rules. We did whatever we want.
Yeah.
Bossed our way everywhere.
So good. Yeah, we talked our way. Oh, we'll have some stories of Thailand. We talked our way into places that we shouldn't have been in, but it was hilarious. Not the track side of things, because the FIM and Dorna do a great job with their security. We couldn't get it anywhere. But post-track, like... You know, you had to show tickets to here and here, and we just got the media pass out, got it everywhere, didn't we?
It was so funny. We're basically almost driving on the track at one stage. 5 years, you said, 5 years to the day that Marquez's arm injury comes back, wins five in a row for Ducati. Is it the biggest sporting comeback in sport slash, let's say, motorsport?
Yeah, I think it's a. I mean, it's been some incredible comebacks. Like, you have to look at, say, Niki Lauda from, you know, nearly burning alive in the car to coming back.
Did he win the championship after that?
Lost by half a point to
Formula One, bro. What they like throwing this stuff up every now and then.
But that's what that season was, just the most incredible season with James Hunt, and probably went more famous because of that rather than not. And he still won three championships, I believe, or two. I'll get Mazden correcting me tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, that's to come back and to, I mean, this. You just can't. You have to go to not 5 years ago. You have to go back 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he's on a Honda, you know, and the arm's not getting better, and
had to go back to America again for another surgery,
and then crashes on the bike, and then the bike. It's, he finally gets fit and goes on the bike, and the bike's nowhere.
Yeah,
I mean, geez,
it's constantly launching him to the moon.
Yeah, it's just incredible.
It has to be one of the biggest sporting comebacks in motorsport. Another one that I think is Mick Doohan, where he almost lost his leg.
Yeah.
And they fused that together. And I think he came back that same year with, like, which just, bro, crazy.
Oh, it's insane.
Crazy, after fusing his leg together. And then, you know, he should have won the championship that year. And then I think he just lost it as well. So, but for like a 5 year process from what happened, and then to just going into utter domination again. And it's like a different Marquez, because Marc Marquez was kind of, he was always, you know, a bit out in there to a degree. He had his, like, different... He kind of revolutionized celebrations, as in, you know, he had, like, the level 7 stuff and things would go on the screen. You'd press a button, the gold helmet would come out. So he kind of revolutionized that, but he's so much more, like, laid back now, dancing, like, really got a family atmosphere with the, like, the teams. It's a different Marc Marquez, and it's a lot more laid back, and I think he's come out and said this, where he sees racing almost differently now because of everything he's been through. And obviously, you're going to look at life a lot different. You know, I'm sure that's like the same with Jorge Martin to a degree with an injury like that. But I don't know. Is there anyone else that's kind of had just a comeback like that?
Just on that as well with Marquez. I mean, I think he wouldn't have changed this for the world. I think he'll look back at it with no regrets. And I think he'll finish his career now with so many more fans from how he's done and how he's approached this, to how he, if he just stayed in the sport, nothing happened to him. The way people talk about him and respect him even more now, he'll go, you know, his legacy would have already gone to the moon.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, for him to come back and winning champ, we're going to win a championship, I don't think he'll change it for the world. I really don't. Yeah. In that scenario, no, I don't think so. And there's probably loads that we haven't thought about in comeback stories, but
I'm just trying to think of motorsport.
But motorsport, yeah, I mean, there's
Tiger Woods came back.
Tiger Woods came back, and it's a similar story. I mean, he had debilitating injuries and, like, you know, back injuries that people say he can never walk again, all this stuff, and then he comes back and wins the Masters. I mean, he's did a few comebacks on women's back as well, you know what I'm saying, Jimmy?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So
shit where you eat, mate.
Yeah, don't shit where you eat. So yeah, for me, he it's just gonna go down in folklore, and we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna sitting with grey beards in 20 years time doing our pod, going, God, you remember Marquez in 2025? Fuck, he was good, James. He was the best. You know, that's when we were really getting off. You know, it will be like that. We'll look back at this year and go, he showed some signs on that 2023 Gasini in 24, but comes in on the Ducati factory team with the factory bike and just dominates. So he's won. So has he won 10 races in a row? They said, or is that? Cause there must be sprinting.
That's. So it's five sprint.
So he's done five rounds.
It's five doubles in a row. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's like you know, we look at Jet Lawrence last year, that 24-0, whatever it was. A couple years ago. Like, how does nothing go wrong? How does nothing go wrong in those 10 races? How does nothing go wrong in 24 races? No puncture, no fall.
Well, bro, something does go wrong. The fucking tire pressures go off.
He still wins. I mean, like, look at Silverstone. He crashed and they got red flags.
I know. I mean, he was lucky.
Call it Marquez luck. I mean, just jeepers.
I guess he got third that race, though, but still.
Oh, that was going back. Yeah, I should say.
That was the last race he, like, Bezzecchi. Didn't win.
Bezzecchi. Yeah. Bezzecchi on the cold track, I should say. Sorry.
He's found his form. As speaking about form, has KTM found form or is it a false dawn?
I think a false dawn. Because I think, as I said from the start, the data, no one had any data going into that. And I think that's what reading today is, that's what Ducati's engine is. I mean, not engine, but like their basis is just so much data, so much better than everyone else. And they go to these tracks and know exactly what setup they're going to do from straight away, where all these guys are just chasing their tails. No dry running on Friday. Come into practice three. Obviously, it just evened up everyone.
Yeah.
And Acosta really benefited from that.
And Bastianini, it shows their talent. Definitely shows their talent.
Yeah, definitely. I think...
T-Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favourite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run in your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
We'll come back. I mean, what's the first race after that?
Austria.
Yeah, that's...
Their home race.
Yeah, that's... That's going to be a real test for... If KTM are up there, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and they got a top speed. They got
horsepower.
They got the biggest top speed out of anyone. So, but I used to love Austria, but now with that shitty chicane...
Yeah, I know. It's wrecked it. Nothing like Horsepower Hill and Bruno, huh?
That's right.
I love it. How good's the name?
It's a great name.
I found my thrill in Horsepower Hill.
That's a t-shirt right there.
I saw that from online. I saw it today, actually. So, TM.
That
copyright.
That last corner in Austria, I reckon, is a very, very, very tricky corner to get right.
Oh, yeah. Some off camber. I mean, Marquez into turn three. I mean, that was just wild, wasn't it? He was just so much better than everyone else.
Yeah, that left-hander.
Oh, and then there's the chicane. It's like Mugello. There's like four corners that are similar on that track.
Yeah.
Chicanes,
you know?
But they're all a little bit different in different ways. And then you got the stadium section on the hill.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's where we're sitting.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. But even that like off camber chicane going up the hill, as you're talking about, is wild.
And it's inviting, isn't it?
It is. The whole track's inviting, actually.
Yes.
Good looking gal is inviting you into your bedroom, T-Shavs.
Yeah, that's it. Cold rainy day, you know what I'm saying?
Then you find you're in the inner demons right there.
Post-nut clarity. So yeah, big things I took out of it was obviously Digia was super disappointing, and you're right, fraud watch. I mean, it's probably fair enough. But he'll come out and improve in Austria. He has to on a Ducati on that track. Such good form there.
Yep.
And then Pedro Acosta for me, probably the rider of the day, taking Marquez out of it because we have to.
Yeah.
We have to for the rest of the year. So
nah, I'm with you. That's all I got. MotoGP, big boy.
Yes, I probably should have Moto2 results ready, eh, Jimmy? Jimmy boy?
So I'm watching Moto2, right? How does Matt Burt know that Ramirez hasn't led a race since 2019 Valencia in Moto3 during the race? Like, how do you know that?
He's got a statistician in his ear, surely.
You reckon that's what it is?
Yeah, they have to, these guys.
Is that how it works?
Has to, yeah. Because there's lots of these things that pop up and I'm like, how do they remember that? Like,
they can't. You can't prepare for that.
I'm sure Matt Burt also has some knowledge.
Of course.
But he can't mentally have it all.
That's true. He must have a statistician in there. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because even like preparing for that, because you wouldn't even know if Ramirez is going to be leading that race.
I know that the F1 boys have people in their ear telling them stats and results.
I know footy guys, and they must. All
right. Now, Joe Roberts first.
Yeah.
I mean, that was amazing. Called by T-Shirt at the start of the race.
America.
Yeah, we had one of our boys from Kentucky was up and about. We didn't hear from D Silver all weekend, which is strange.
Yeah,
so,
what's going on?
Yeah. Must have the bloody...
To be honest, though, our inbox is like flooded.
Yeah.
It's actually too hard to get... We can't get back to everyone now.
It is tough. You need to put like a siren emoji in your first sentence. So we know
watch, you'll get 1,000 of them.
Yeah, D Silva, he was out of action. So
who was the guy from Kentucky? I think I saw a message about that. You sent something funny.
Yeah. I said KFC, and they got a KFC in 10 years, man. 10 fucking long years. Okay, Barry Beltas second. Yep. Manuel Gonzalez just saving it for the championship now, isn't he?
Well, very smart. Yeah.
Danny Helgado fourth. Great Celestino Vietti fifth. Izan Guevara sixth. Marcos Ramirez seventh. After two long laps, pretty good.
Yeah.
Philip Salach eighth. David Alonso 9th and Albert Arenas 10th.
What's Senna get?
11th. Senna 12th. Went backwards, unfortunately. Yeah, 15th in the end, which was super disappointing for him, finishing behind Adrian Huertas.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But just shows you how inconsistent Moto2 is. I mean, you got Dennis Onchu winning the race next weekend, finishing 13th.
Oh, no.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's Tony Arbolino, 19th, my boy. Come on, that Bosque Oscuro. You're going to get off that Bosque Oscuro. Oh,
it's a championship-winning chassis. One last year by Agura.
Doesn't suit him, mate. Doesn't suit him.
The Pirelli tires.
But yeah, for me, I mean, Joe Roberts, I mean, just out of the blue again. He had form there in 2020 when they went there. He finished second. So, looked fast all weekend. Just sometimes these tracks just suit the riders.
Yeah,
so.
They do. They definitely do. But it's all about being consistent. Manny Gonzalez has been pretty consistent. That's why I think he's leading the world title.
But Barry Boltas, man, he's...
I know.
From nowhere, a championship contender.
That's Moto2 for you, though. That's Moto2 for you. We've said this last week or the week before. Like, he's the prime example of being in that grid for 3 to 5 years, and then you finally find form. And now he's finding form, and he's getting seconds and poles, and doing awesome. It's good to see.
Great for the sport. Belgium, of all countries, I mean,
they're massive in motocross.
Yeah. And who was the last? They were talking about the last. Simon was the last.
Xavier Simon. Olivio Loy used to run around.
Simon was the last podium, the last pole sitter for Belgium back in 20. Where's Matty Burt? I need him in my ear. Yeah, 2019, yeah. I think it was. But yeah, I mean, a fairly interesting race. Aaron Canet crashing.
I know. That was just his own fault. Almost took out Dixon.
He did. Yeah, he nipped his rear tyre, I reckon. Yeah. But he was lucky to stay on. So, but yeah, interesting talking about tracks as well. That first corner, you just squint when you just sort of tense the butthole when they're going into that first corner.
Especially the Moto2 boys. Yeah. There's that many different lines.
Heaps of different lines, yeah.
It was wild watching it. But hey, how's your boy Mattia Pessini, 39 years old, running around?
I didn't understand.
Bro,
that.
He has been racing since I was in
04.
Like, since we were grade 4.
04, he was in the paddock with Rossi, they said 04.
I remember hearing his name forever. Like, how is he still getting a ride?
So was he racing in Moto3?
So 125s, 250s.
Yeah, but he was racing Moto3 this weekend. Not
Moto2.
I thought it was Moto3.
Nah, he DNF'd in Moto2.
Oh, he did too. Sorry, he was racing for Fantech. So who did he fill in for?
Dunno, bro.
Come on, we run a podcast here.
Dunno. I didn't know he was fucking riding until I saw him on the grid. And Tom, you messaged me going, there's a 39-year-old racing.
I said, he's qualified 8th as well. He qualified 8th out of 30. I mean, it's fantastic.
Wild, bro. He normally does like a wild card like once every couple of years at Mugello. Someone gets injured, they always get Mattia Pessini in. Good on him, bro.
I love
that. He's still just running around and still quick. He's obviously still quick.
Well, it's interesting. We go back to
he must do endurance.
GP for quickly. We see Pol Espargaró in the back of the paddock in a suit presenting.
Mm.
And then it's just amazing how these guys can go get a call up and go, you're in for the next week, and then perform really well. I mean,
And he's like lucky for him, I guess, because he's still test rider for KTM.
Yeah.
But still to be so quick is pretty bloody impressive.
And Pessini to qualify 8th. I mean, I know, he wouldn't have spent that much time on a Triumph for 7.65.
Bro, Moto2 bike, new Moto2 bike. He's wild.
So, yeah, good on him.
How would you feel, though, being like 13th and then you're still... Like, you're behind Mattia Pessini. He's been racing since 2004. Since 2004, we would have been 8 years old.
We were, you're looking for every excuse in the book, wouldn't you? But that's the thing for him. Like, if it was like a Michele Pirro,
he was racing
Mugello, like, it's different. He's done so many laps around there, but the guy would have been a bloody Bruto for a long time.
A long time, so, Shirley.
Yeah.
Shirley. But Moto2 wasn't like an amazing race. I guess it was all right, but it wasn't a barnstorm.
No. We'll move on to Moto3. Domination.
Bro, Rueda.
When do you see that, James?
You see it maybe twice, once or twice a year.
So Yeah, Rueda first. Unbelievable.
Just broke him.
Quiles second. David Munoz third. Did he start from Munoz? Where did he
started from last because yeah. he got a penalty for getting in everyone's way.
Standard.
Fucking David Munoz, bro.
Angel Piqueiro's fourth. Dennis Foggia fifth. He was fighting for the win at one point and then... Oh, sorry, fighting for second place, I should say. Adrian Fernandez. Curtis is looking at me quite sexually. Sorry, guys. Adrian Fernandez, sixth. David Almanza, seventh. Valentin Peroni, the... most Italian Argentinian around.
Well, there's, you know, that's an issue right there.
Yeah. Yamanaka 9th and Guido Pini 10th.
And Guido Pini is the most Italian name you'll ever hear.
True, it is.
He's probably the next hot prospect in Italian races at the moment. It's Guido Pini.
I mean, yeah, you take Foggia out of it.
Well, Foggia, no way. Do you still have Moto2 results? Or are they gone?
They're gone.
The top 10, I'd be interested to see if there's even Italian in there. We've had that conversation. Yeah. Right? But there's not.
Well, Arboleda is really the only guy who's has any pedigree in Moto2 who's had race wins or podiums. Yeah, I can't think of any other ones who...
Guido Pini is the next one for him.
And Spanish, out of the top 7, 6 of them.
Yeah, they're just still... So they're just
take take old man Dennis Foggia out of it. It's just Spain. So...
Rueda out front and breaking a pack is the hallmark of a champion, though, in Moto3.
It's a difference. Yeah.
That's a very hard thing to do.
Especially on that track. I mean, you're a lot of long straights, wide as well.
I know, sweepers.
You wouldn't pick that. You know, you wouldn't pick that as a track where someone could dominate. Well, and they're all coming in fresh, obviously, never been there before.
Quiles and Foggia kept just carving each other up. They were looking at each other going down the straight. And trying to just tell each other to, you know, just play it cool. We can catch him, but, you know, Moto3 standard stuff. But credit to Rueda, man. He's absolutely killing it. And just, again, another... It's funny, right? Moto3 is such a tight competition where normally the races are so tight. But it always seems to be just a dominant champion.
Mm. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, we just need some... Like, I hope David Alonso... wins. Okay, it's a win before the end of the year because it really cements his position as that next big star. I mean, I just hate to...
I think it's coming. I think him and Holgado, Daniel Holgado, what do you like, fourth, whatever, on the weekend? Like,
yeah.
I think it's coming. It's just... Yeah, he's obviously injured, but it's just Moto2 is so difficult. But he's still, like, sliding in the top tens. He's still had a podium. First rookie year. It's hard to do.
Yeah, and poor Joel Kelso had a massive shunt in practice. Also had a massive shunt last week in Sachsenring. So, unfortunately, he's broken a couple of bones in his foot, I believe. So, flung from the KTM RC 250 GP, James, and not looking very good. So,
RC 250.
So, lucky it couldn't have come at a better time for the summer break for him.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he heals up. Hopefully, it's a couple of just minor fractures in the foot. We haven't got the full rundown just yet.
Get him on the pod.
We'll hopefully run into Joel in the next few weeks if he gets back to Australia. Hopefully has some make some time for us. So
yeah, he did last year.
He did. Yeah, we normally have our mid-season. Well, he's just had a great year. It's just the last couple of weekends. He's had a couple of bad crashes, so unfortunately for him.
Correct. All right, hot takes, big dog.
You are far away there, Jimmy Ball.
All right, thank you for everyone sending them in as usual. Now, I was telling you today, I couldn't even get through
thousands.
There's a lot, so...
They're going to be tired of us winning, James. With so much winning!
Is that Donald Trump? Yeah. That's funny. What a crazy thing to say.
I know.
At Paul Ryan, Pecco's parents showed more fight in their scooter than Pecco on the races. Cool seeing them help Mark. I thought that was cool. That was really nice to see that.
It was.
That was very wholesome.
It was wholesome. It's good to see because all we do see is a lot of negativity.
Excuse me. Negativity, gotcha.
Yeah. What'd I say?
That's
Arnold Schwarzenegger. So it was good and wholesome to see, as you said, James. Carry on.
At Hamish Golding, no relation.
What?
Do you see There's no one would get that except us two. I'm sorry. I'm sad shit podcasting right now. I'm sorry.
Inside jokes. I'm sorry, guys.
Do you see Martin on the podium before the end of the season? We've already answered this, but yes, definitely. I see him on the podium.
James contradicted himself 4 weeks ago. Said he won't podium this year. I'll have to get that up. But now he's changed his mind.
After seeing Bruno... I guess I'll stand corrected until we see it happen.
Yeah, true. And then you'll go back to your old.
Yeah, I told you the whole time.
That's a T-shirt move.
That is a T-shirt. That's the ultimate T-shirt move, actually. At Maddie Stevens, OG fan. Having three manufacturers on the podium is exactly what MotoGP needs.
Oh, it's fantastic. It really is. And the Aprilia and KTM, I mean, they're all struggling other than Ducati. So anyone on the podium, but those two brands, I mean, for them to both be firing, I think you're always going to have your Yamahas there and you're always going to have your Honda there. They're never leaving. Mm. But there's every chance that Aprilia or KTM could. So for the championship and for MotoGP in general, I think it is a really good thing.
It's a really good thing. It's what we need. We don't want three Ducatis on the podium. No one wants that. And we want to see Japanese manufacturers there.
Ducati going down from 8 to 6 bikes, does it hurt them in these scenario because they don't have as much data to work on? Is that what's changed things, do you think? And the concessions, obviously, as well.
Yeah, concessions. And they're down to, realistically, they're down to 3 factory bikes.
Yeah.
Which is probably the one thing that's going to hurt them the most. Like, if you have 4, it's huge. But now to be down to 3, it levels the playing field because there's not really much you can do on a GP24, like an older bike. But where, you know, if you're testing so much data of DGR and Bagnaia and Marquez, it can go a long way if you've already got that platform ahead of everyone else.
Yep.
Matty Auld, also another pod favourite, OG fan.
Travis's long lost son.
Correct. If Chancha got a chance, why hasn't Joe Roberts got a shot at MotoGP? Need a US rider. Definitely need a US rider, but I don't know if he's done enough yet.
No, he hasn't done enough. And you can't just put the token in there because we'll just have the same result as the token Asian.
Yeah.
So we can't have the token Yank just to replace the token Yagan. You need to have someone in there that has, you know, shown some sort of, you know, special rider.
Unfortunately for everyone else, it's Spanish rider.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's okay. Like, I just want to see the best of it. I don't really care what nationality you are. I think you just have to watch the best of the best. Joe Roberts would have been interesting if he went on to that RSGP for this year, and if it wasn't just say like a Rael Fernandez. I really do think he would suit a bigger bike, and I think he would do a whole lot better than Som Kiat Chantra.
Yeah, but guys, let's be honest. Joe Roberts has done nothing until this race. He's done nothing.
For this year?
Yes.
Yeah. He was injured for a few rounds.
Excuses. He's done nothing. And he's come into the track that no one's been to for 5 years, had a great result. But, you know, we can't start talking about him putting on MotoGP. Hold your horses.
Yeah, there's riders in front of him. 100%. I agree.
Why would you sign him when you can sign a Gonzalez or Moreira? I mean, he's got to be not even in the top 5, I don't think.
Oh, no, I'm with you. Like, I get it. There's so much talent to pick from.
And I think you pick Jake Dixon before you pick Joe Roberts.
He's another one that's been lined up for HRC World Superbikes, added to the list.
They're going to have 4 factory teams at this point.
Actually, no, maybe it was Mark Beattie, yes, in Superbikes. Anyway, yeah. IlYoung28_. If Manny Gonzalez wins the championship, is he going to get a seat into MotoGP? That's a good question because, like, where do you put Manu Gonzalez? He obviously tested for Trackhouse and was quick.
I think for me, Martin coming back to Aprilia for next year, I think's really hurt Manu. Because you'd obviously, with the Trackhouse, you'd think probably there might be a spare spot open there.
Okay, who would you sign? Because I think Rael Fernandez's contract is up.
He is. No. We had this conversation. He's got 1 more year.
Does he?
They gave him a 2-year deal.
Fuck.
I have to, if Curtis is any good on the computer.
Didn't we look this up? Haven't we looked this up? Didn't Curdy already? Curdy, are you able to please look up Rael Fernandez's contract situation?
And we'll come back to that in a sec. But yeah, it's for me, if you're going to look at Trackhouse, I agree, you can't let go.
Nah, no way.
And Rael Fernandez is finishing 5th.
The ultimate cock tease.
I think you keep that 4 for next year. I really do. I would.
Bro, that's you talk about a 180 with me of Bez.
Raul's shown stuff in the last 5 Grand Prix, not just one.
No, you're right.
You know, we're not just...
But is it a risk?
Possibly. Anything's a risk, isn't it? Is it the risk worth taking? Curtis?
So, extension
Yep. Thank you. Yeah.
The end of 2026. Yeah.
That's all good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, gotcha. Contracts mean nothing realistically. Yeah, I mean, bloody hell.
Thanks, Curdy.
Thanks, Curdy. They mean absolutely nothing. And these days, as you know, unless you're in Jorge Martí's position, because I'm telling you right now, my opinion is he's gone out and tried to get out of this contract and they've said no. And he's gone, oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'm staying then.
Correct.
That's our opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that he's just had an epiphany to go, oh my God, I'm staying because the bike's going well now. His lawyers would have gone, so mate, you're either out, you can't race next week, next year, and you get paid nothing, or you sit on that bike.
Yeah.
Because even MotoGP came out and said, he's not signing with another team if he's still contracted, which I think is a great thing.
I think it's a great thing. It's the one time I've actually seen a contract hold up, so.
Yes.
We've already spoken about
and
it.
And the other thing is, Raul Fernandez could just come back as a, you know, he has a 2-year contract, but the contract might say, well, you could be a test rider.
Yeah,
you don't know.
There's going to be all these different clauses and performance clauses. I still think I would want to take Manny Gonzalez. I think Raul Fernandez has just had enough time.
Yeah.
Like Raul Fernandez has done amazing. It's great to see that turnaround. And I know he's had spoken to a sports psychologist and he's been quite open with that. And it's actually great to see him doing well and getting some reward for effort. I think it's really good. I really like Trackhouse.
We need one more team in MotoGP.
We do.
We're one team short.
We do. We definitely do.
Yeah.
But I just think he's just had enough time. Like, what are you... you got to revolt. You got to move talent on. And you've got to put fresh talent in. Like Manu Gonzalez is someone who deserves a MotoGP seat.
I'm on the Raul Fernandez.
Get the merch going.
I'm on the Raul Fernandez. Yeah, but I'll buy it, and then you'll get test ridden next year. Be worth nothing.
It's like buying Jorge Martín number one merch. How much money he would have lost in merch sales? Mm. Yeah, we had messages from people in Sachsenring and Bruno and stuff. No one's even looking at his stuff.
Yeah. Well, would you?
Your boy at Willie_Nels. Which CEO got more airtime this week? KDM or the astronomer?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Jeez, that was a wild story with that CEO, wasn't it? Like, not just wild as in, like, who gives a fuck, realistically, but wild as in it just reached everyone. Everyone knows the story just wild. From social media. Like, it's I never heard. It's a wildfire, that story. It's just it's just hilarious. What an idiot.
What an idiot.
Have an affair in private. Please.
Don't subject us all to it.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
What ridiculous.
Have you seen his missus? The actual missus? She's a glamour.
Yeah, but I've seen different photos.
Not good.
He's not... Carry on. That's Marriage Republic on the next pod we're doing. So.
All right, we'll straighten up. Boy, heart_Melbourne. I got two. Mark Marquez is the son Davide Tardozzi always wanted. And also, would Ducati be wiser to have a young rider in their team to learn from Mark Marquez? Pecco Bagnaia is nowhere. Which is an interesting take, to have a young rider to learn from Mark Marquez. Ducati share a lot of data. If you put in, let's just say, a Manu Gonzalez or a Diego Moreira or... David Alonso, whatever.
But like, I would think you'd probably look at Furman first.
Yes.
You think if you put Furman in the seat, I don't think you'd look at any younger than that at the moment.
Furman's
they've got
right
that
call.
Path for MotoGP. Yeah. Like, Bagnaia didn't start with Ducati. He went to Pramac first. So. Yeah,
Pramac Ducati.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't start... So you don't start your career at Ferrari. You have to go through the junior team first and then you start your career.
MotoGP is maybe the slight exception, but like, again, it's the gems that start, I guess, in the factory team.
But they have to think about that.
I like that take. That's not a bad take.
It's a great take because you have to look at the future, and then people get Honda, for instance, so complacent with concentrating on one rider at this very time. You got to think about the future.
Future-proof. Mm. Ducati's been very good at that.
They have. They've been lucky. They've had some great talented riders come through, and then they've just signed the best rider of all time. That's the other thing. And they have the power to do that. Why? The other way you could look at that is devil's advocate. Why spend our money on training up young riders and taking them through programs and stuff when they just wait till the gem goes amazing into a Yamaha and then just brings them over or vice versa? So who knows? Who knows what the right thing to do is? Look at Binder. Binder's a KDM love child. Mm. Is he going to be racing next year for KDM?
Is he signed?
Oh, I wouldn't do that to him again.
Curdy, are you able to look up Brad Binder's contract situation, please?
Brad Binder. Well, he looks at that. It's called Papa. Our boy, second, third place in the championship is still open if Aprilia follows their momentum in the second half. Which, it's tough. Like, either, yeah, I guess so. Like, they're 100 points behind. I guess you can make that up. But, like, that's only for Bez, obviously.
Papa's got his new arch nemesis, Simon Patterson, as well.
Oh, really?
You saw Papa got quite angry on a post he shared.
Yeah?
Criticizing Simon Patterson's...
That guy gets caught. I don't know anything about him.
No, he does caught. But yeah, Papa has his reasons, so credit where credit's due. Yes, Curtis?
Binder's contract ends end of 2026.
So it's next year. It's a lot of 2026, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's a new regs in 27, so that's what everyone's sort of been waiting for, haven't they?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's right. Jared.Madsen, pole finishing with Brad ahead of Brad proves Brad Binder doesn't deserve a seat.
Oh, it's a great point. And I think you're right. I think you're right. When you have, you know, you had some, he's shown nothing this year, but Binder at all.
Nah.
If he's been he's been behind someone at least. He's always, like, if he's been up in the top five, you've had Acosta in fourth.
Yeah.
From memory, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing here, but that's what my memory says for this year.
It doesn't look great. It doesn't look great for Brad Binder. And I wonder if there's clauses in his contract where like, sorry, bro, we've been loyal enough. Yeah. There's a performance clause. You're not even in the top 10 of the championship. Mm. This is what we can do.
Yeah.
That's a big call to make, though. It ruffles a lot of feathers. But I guess maybe... I guess that's what KTM business, needs. That's what KTM needs.
Yeah, it's business. And these new owners, they're not going to have the pedigree or the history with Binder. They might just go, well, get a better rider. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's it. That's it. That's all she wrote. Shout out to Adrian, Letty, Rins and Oliveira. Got to go. 100% agree. Basically, everyone has just messaged in about the tire pressure rule and how much everyone hates it. There's a lot of people divided in MotoGP, but we're all united on one front. That's tire pressure.
That's true. And shout out to Kyle, my mate from Kyle Mann from Kentucky. I've got his name wrong.
Oh,
before.
Yeah.
His hot take was Mark would have been better in the sprint just gassing it off the line like Valentino Rossi, Phillip Island. Then worrying about the 8-second penalty for the tire pressures, which is probably not a bad point.
He probably
would have got 8 seconds ahead, to be honest with you. So yeah, that was a good call.
I like that a lot. Last one, HG.Ava. Danny Pedrosa should do what more wild cards would help KTM much more. And yep. He's done... Danny, KTM's got some fast riders in their test team. So yeah. It's good to see. And good on Paul Espargaro for killing it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate all your love and support.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
See you next week.